Father, we thank you so much for your presence here this morning by your Spirit. We thank you for the amazing truth that you who are so almighty are concerned for each one of us. And you want to speak to us. You want to change us. And I pray that you would just give us hearts open to hear what you would say to us today. A few years ago, I was working as the leader of a Christian organization. And one day I was sitting in my office and there was a knock on the door. And it was a young woman who I knew very well, and actually we had just offered her a position in the organization. And as she came in, she began to cry. And she shared with me that she had done something seriously wrong. And I listened to her. I invited her to come back to our home and meet with Jane and me. And over several months, we worked with her to help her through what had happened, to try and understand why it had happened, and to help her to overcome some of those negative things in her life and get back on the right track. Now, I did not think it was right for her to take up the position we'd offered to her at that time, because I believe that character is absolutely indispensable when people are involved in Christian leadership and influence. But did that mean that the door was closed for this young woman forever? No, it didn't. And a year later, we gave her the opportunity to take up the job. And the reason for this, the reason why I did this, was because I believe in a God who gives second chances. And we're going to read about this today in Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believe God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Don't let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we'll not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he'd threatened. Now, in this passage, we see how God, in his mercy, gives people second chances. And firstly, we'll see how he gave a second chance to Jonah. You see, Jonah had let God down badly. He'd been given this commission to preach against the great city of Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria. They were one of the chief powers of the time. And It's located actually in northern Iraq today. But Jonah had let God down. He'd refused to do what God said. He tried to run away to a far-off land. God had told him to go one way, and he went the other way. He went the exact opposite way that God told him to go. But God, in his abundant mercy, had not finished with Jonah. And as we saw a couple of weeks ago, God used a terrifying storm and then his deliverance from it to bring Jonah back to his senses. Deep down in the sea, as the seaweed was tangled round his legs, and then later as he was in the belly of a mighty fish, Jonah came back to God. And he committed himself to going the right way. And so the fish spat him out, and Jonah once again found himself back on dry land. And we read in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Now, you may remember, if you've got a long memory, that about a month ago, we read chapter 1. And right at the beginning of chapter 1, we read that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it." God gave Jonah the same commission a second time. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but I am amazed at the character of God when I read this. Here's Jonah, a mighty prophet. So if we turn it to current day, you know, a church leader. And yet, he's not only done something a bit wrong, he's totally rebelled against God. He's done the exact opposite of what God told him to do. He's gone in the opposite direction. But Jonah had acknowledged that he'd gone wrong. In fact, the Message Bible puts it like this in chapter 2, verse 9, "I'll do what I promised to do." And so God gave him a second chance to take his message to Nineveh. Now this is a simple story, but it illustrates an amazing truth about our God. It shows the abundant nature of God's forgiveness. Something which is, of course, most clearly seen in the coming of Jesus. Prophet Jeremiah talked about what would happen when Jesus came. And this is what he said in chapter 31 of Jeremiah. The Lord says, "I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." You see, when we believe in Jesus, when we turn away from our sin — sin means our wrongdoing, our wrong attitudes, our going against God and his way — our sin, our wrongdoings, are completely wiped out of the memory of God. It's as if he's pressed the delete button on the hard disk of his memory. It's gone. All those wrong things we've done, our wrong attitudes, those things we should have done which we didn't do, our rebellion, it is all gone. It's not hidden in some kind of divine recycle bin that can be restored at a later date. It's gone. It's not like the law courts, you know, when somebody's found guilty of something and then they come to the sentencing phase and they take into account all the previous misdemeanors. It's not like that. It's gone. Why is it gone? Is it that God's not really bothered about the wrong things we do? No. On the contrary, it's because Jesus on the cross paid the penalty for our sin. That's why it's gone. God says, I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And it's a bit different from us, isn't it? You know, we can forgive, but we find it very hard to forget, don't we? And while we should not presume upon the Lord's goodness by having a casual attitude to wrongdoing, I believe that God would say to us today, I will remember your sins no more. And maybe some of us find this hard. Maybe some of us are bothered by things we've done before in the past. And yeah, we've said sorry, we've prayed about it, but it's still there. And we think, I'm a bit useless, as God can't use me, I'm no good. Do you remember in the New Testament the story of the Apostle Peter? When Jesus was being tried by the Jewish leaders and the Roman leaders, Peter really messed up. He denied even knowing Jesus. He denied that he belonged to Jesus' followers. Three times, in fact. And then he thought afterwards, he thought, that's it. I know God gave me, I mean, Jesus gave me a job to do, but forget it. I'm going back to my old work. And he used to be a fisherman. I'm going back to fishing. And so he goes back to fishing. He gets his boat out and he rows into the middle of the lake. And then he notices somebody standing on the shore. And it's Jesus, risen from the dead. And when he talks with Jesus, he discovers that Jesus has forgiven his sin. But more than that, Jesus had a job for him to do. He said, feed my sheep, which really means I want you to care for my people. You see, Jesus didn't say, now Pete, no, I can't call you Pete. Pete actually means rocky. You're no rock. I'll go back to your old name, Simon. You can come to church if you want, but you can sit in the back row, okay, over there. I don't want you at the front. You're not going in the holy seats down here. And forget it if you think you're going to do anything sort of in the church. You want to be a life group leader? Forget it. You've totally blown it. Is that what Jesus said to Peter? No, he didn't. He gave him a second chance. And that's who our God is. He's a God who loves to give us second chances. And some of us may be struggling because we think, well, actually, when I think back, I realize there was something that the Lord wanted me to do. He wanted me to talk to this person and I didn't. He's asked me to do something. It might be in the church, might be in RCU. And I've said no, and I realize I shouldn't have done. God, in his amazing love and his mercy, offers us a second chance. Don't miss this amazing offer, because God loves giving second chances. Well, he gave Jonah a second chance, but he also gave a second chance to the people of Nineveh. And let's read about this, verses 3 and 4. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, when Jonah proclaimed the words which God had given him, this became a second chance for the people of Nineveh. Now, hang on a minute, you might say, this isn't a second chance, this is their first chance, isn't it? But you know it's not, because God speaks to everyone all the time. The Apostle Paul in the book of Romans gives two ways he speaks. He speaks through our conscience. Chapter 2 describes the conscience of Romans, describes the conscience like this: something deep within them that echoes God's yes and no, right and wrong. We have a sense of what's right and wrong. And then he speaks through the natural world. And Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says this: since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what's been made, so that people are without excuse. They're without excuse, but God loves to give a second chance. God loves people to respond to his love, his compassion, his mercy. And that was the opportunity he gave to the Ninevites. Verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. The Ninevites believed what God had said through Jonah, and they began to acknowledge their wrong behavior before God. And it's probable, we don't know, but it's probable that they said to Jonah, what should we do? And he told them, well, you can fast, you can put on some itchy clothes, because that was what the Israelites did as a sign of their remorse. It was not something the Assyrians did particularly, but it was what the Israelites did. You see, the Ninevites didn't know anything very much about God in detail. They hadn't got a Bible. They'd not been to church. They'd not been to Sunday school. But when they heard God's word through Jonah, they turned from their sin and they sought to put their lives right. Now, hearing this, you might think, come on, it's hard enough to believe that Jonah actually, you know, was sitting around in the belly of a fish for a couple of days. Can you really believe that an almighty city like Nineveh, almost overnight, suddenly is completely transformed and changed? And sometimes we doubt that this kind of thing will happen today. But we need to remember that it is God who turns people from their sins. Do you remember what happened when the Apostle Paul in answer to a vision he'd seen came to Europe. And this was his very first trip to Europe. He went to a place called Philippi. And the very first person to believe was a woman. She was actually not from Europe. But if we're, those of us who are from Europe, she is our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother because she was the very first person to believe in Europe. And why did she believe? Acts chapter 16, verse 14 says this, "The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." You see, if like Paul, we follow God's leading, if like Jonah, we follow God's leading, we will find people who are prepared by God to come to faith in him. It may be through our church's ministry of Encounter and Open the Door. It may be people in our workplace or our university hall of residence. We need to be looking for people whose hearts have been opened by God. When Jane and I worked in Korea, one day there was a knock on the door. Well, actually, the bell went in our home, and it was a man there we knew, an English teacher, a British guy, and he said, "Oh, I've got this woman here." She was actually his girlfriend. "We've got this woman here. I want you to share the gospel with her." Because he couldn't speak Korean, so he wanted us to talk with her. And this woman was very interesting. She had been totally put off Christianity because people had said bad things about her beliefs. She had no interest in Christianity at all. And it was a very unusual day, and it hasn't happened many times in my life, but as we talked with her, there was an absolutely palpable sense of God's presence in that room. And she said, I've never heard things explained like this before. And shortly after, she came to faith in Christ. Jane spent time with her, discipling her. She later actually came to Britain and studied the Bible in order to do mission. But we need to be on the lookout for people whose hearts God is opening. Now let's go back to the passage. Now, so powerful was the proclamation that Jonah gave that even the king himself was moved. And we read that he rose from his throne, took off his robes, covered himself with sackcloth, sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, don't let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Don't let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we'll not perish." The king knew that their only hope was that God would forgive them in his mercy, in his compassion, in answer to their prayers. But he also knew something very important, and that is that if we repent, turn from our wrongdoing, that must be shown by changed behavior. And in verse 8 he says, "Let everyone give up their evil ways and their violence." Violence probably meant social injustice. And so when we talk about repentance, this is not just external things, in this case, like wearing funny clothes, or It's not just crying out, oh, I'm so sorry, I should never have done this. It includes a change in behavior. You know, if I disturb my neighbor by playing loud music late at night, it's no good knocking on their door the next day and say, oh, I'm so sorry. And then the following night, you do the same thing again. You remember the story of Zacchaeus in the New Testament? He was a tax collector, a very corrupt man. He was that little man that climbed up in a tree to try and see Jesus. Well, to cut a long story short, Jesus came to his house. He realized he'd done wrong. And he said, right, I'm going to give half my money to the poor. And everyone I've cheated, I will repay fourfold. And that's what it is to be a Christian. It's not just coming to church. It's not just reading your Bible. It's not just saying your prayer. It's not just worshipping. Those are all good and important. It's about changing your life. Well, what happened? Verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he threatened. Notice how God saw their changed hearts and behavior. When God saw what they did. That reminds me of a story which Jesus told. Do you remember how he told this story of a young guy, probably sort of student age, who ran away from home and burnt up all his money in a far off land? And then he came to his senses and he went home. But his father had never given up loving this boy. Now, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes for a few seconds, because I want you to picture what happened in this story. I want you to imagine this father seeing his rebellious son in the far distance, coming home after a few years away. See the father's eagerness as he rushes up to his son. See his tear-filled eyes. See his tender embrace. That's the God of mercy who we love. He longs to give people a second chance. He has to forgive. He has to deal with sin. But he loves to forgive. He loves to give a second chance. And when we look at our world, or, well, let's just look at Sheffield. 3 times as many homeless people dying last year as the year before. Our nation tearing itself apart in this time of Brexit. But with God, nothing is hopeless. God, in his mercy, could turn Nineveh upside down. He can do the same for Sheffield. Some of you may know that after the Second World War, there was an amazing revival in the Western Isles off the coast of Scotland. And one of the people that God used a lot was a man called Duncan Campbell. And he wrote about this and he said, you know, often amazing things happen in church. And everyone's going, wow, this is incredible. But actually outside, in the town around, nothing much changes. But he said this, he said, in this time of revival in the Western Isles, the fear of God came on that community, moving men and women who until then had no concern for spiritual things to seek after God. And that's what we should be looking for. Not just the transformed church, that's great, but the community around us seeking after God and discovering that in his mercy, he offers them a second chance. A chance to find life, abundant life, a relationship with him. Our part is to pray and to respond to God's call to become his servants, to show his compassion to a world in need. So in conclusion, let's summarize some of the things we've seen today about the God of mercy who gives second chances. God offers us a second chance to follow his calling. He's waiting for us to do what he's asked us to do. Saying sorry is being sorry. In other words, if we're sorry, that will make a change in our life. God wants everyone to have a full life. Who are the people we should be reaching out to in love and compassion? And then finally, God is very powerful. He can change the nations. And that includes the UK. That includes our own city of Sheffield. So could I invite you to stand up now? We're going to move into a ministry time. And if you don't know what this is, we just give people an opportunity to respond. Maybe you would like somebody to pray alongside you. You won't be interrogated. Just give you an opportunity for somebody to stand with you. So let's just have a little bit of a time of quiet as we wait on God. And we invite Holy Spirit to come. You know, right at the beginning, there's one thing I'd like to share. And there may be some of us who've never come to Jesus. And I